the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, we are now into the final quarter of the year, the fourth quarter, and probably the furthest thing from your mind is taxes. But this is the time to start thinking about next year's taxes and what you might owe. And there are some ways that you can reduce them, and that's the subject of today's show. Joining me on the program is Lowell Smith. He's a specialist in pensions. And Lowell, I want to talk about two kind of individuals that may be listening to the program. One who is, let's say, an employee at a company. They don't have a pension plan. What kind of pension or IRAs are available to them? And then also maybe a business owner who does not have a pension plan. He may be a sole proprietor, a partner, or maybe a small staff or a C corp. So I want to begin with pensions, and let's begin with the individual. I'm an individual. I'm working for a company. They have no pension. What are the options available to me to reduce my taxes?
Sure. There are a couple of things that you can do as an individual. So if you are not you don't have a plan, you're going to be able to deduct, unless your spouse has a plan and you have certain income limits, you're going to be able to deduct from your taxes contributions up to $6,000 into your IRA. If you're over 50, you can also do another $1,000, so you can do $7,000. So let's say your taxable income was $50,000. You could actually reduce that taxable income by $7,000 by putting it into traditional IRA. That's one good way to help lower your tax burden and also save for retirement.
Now, Lo, you just mentioned something. Let's say that I work for a company and we don't have a pension plan, but my wife has a job. And at her company, she has a 401k. How does that alter that equation?
Yeah, if your joint income is above $193,000, and you will be able to take, actually, if it's above $203,000, you will not be able to take a deduction. You still can make a contribution, can't take the deduction. If it's between $193,000 and $203,000, depending on what percentage you are between those two, you can apply that percentage to your IRA contribution and deduct that percentage. So let's say that you were at $198,000, which is 50%, and you made a $6,000 IRA contribution, you'd be able to deduct $3,000.
Lowell, would that person be better off, since they're not getting a deduction, to go for a Roth IRA instead, or do the same income limits apply to Roths?
Yeah, the income limits on a Roth are very, very similar. But not quite as high, they're actually lower. So if that person can't deduct, they're not going to be able to do a Roth either.
Okay, so an IRA, I mean, is that basically it? If your employer doesn't offer anything, your only alternative is the IRA if you can qualify?
Yeah, unless you have any self-employment income. Let's say you have a job on the side, or you're 1099-ing employees or something of that nature, I could do that. But also remember, I can also make a spousal contribution also. So if my spouse, so between you and your spouse, you can make up to $12,000. You also could do, depending on the age of the spouse, do another $2,000 between two of you.
Okay. So if I qualify in terms of income, and let's say neither myself or spouse have pensions and we're over age 50, we could put away $14,000. Let me put another one out there. Let's say I work for an employer. They don't have, let's say, a pension plan. Chances are their medical plan may not be that great. What about a health savings account?
The amounts that you put into your health savings account, obviously, you would use for health bills. But anything that don't have to use that year, obviously, can be used for future growth. And eventually, you can do a one-time conversion of all that to a Roth if you wish to. But essentially, it just becomes another IRA. So a lot of folks are starting to learn about the advantages of using HSAs, not only to fund healthcare, but also to be a savings vehicle, particularly used a lot by folks as they're maxing out their whatever they have in their corporate retirement plans and trying to put that in the HSA. Some people are just putting in an HSA because they don't have the same contribution. It doesn't affect your contribution limits.
So basically, if I'm an employee, I have maybe the possibility of three tax-free vehicles I can contribute. I can contribute to an IRA, which will be deductible, or a Roth IRA, which will not be deductible but tax-free. I can contribute to an HSA and use for medical expenses. That becomes tax-free. And if I have a couple of kids, I can put them into a 529 plan, and if used for college, that will be tax-free. Now, let's expand upon that, Lowell, and assume that, I don't know, I'm a small firm. I have 5-10 employees. Let's talk about what would be a plan that would be more fitting for a company or a sole proprietor or an individual that has more than himself or herself as an employee.
So let's say that I did do a 401k type plan for my small employees. I can do that, and the contribution limits are they're $19,000 this year that an employee can defer, and they can defer that either to a Roth or a traditional. Traditional obviously comes off that off your taxable income. The Roth just grows tax free. Then they could do another $6,000 catch up if they are over 59.5, and the corporation could make a profit sharing contribution or match, but they don't have to. If they do not match, there are some compliance testing. So a lot of smaller employers do something called a safe harbor type program or simple 401k that has a match very much like a simple IRA. There's just no vesting that's applied to that, so that all the contributions made by the employer to the employee is 100% that employee's, no matter how long they stay with the employer. They could also, put a vesting schedule, try to enhance the longevity of their staff. They could do it that way. The other thing they could do is what I was mentioning was a simple IRA. That has to be established, by the way, each year by October 1. So if anyone wanted to do a simple IRA for this year, it hasn't already done one, they can't. You would have to wait to start that program to January 1. But a simple IRA allows, again, people to put, there is no Roth option, but it allows people to put $13,000 away, and the employer, and they could do another $3,000, and the employer would have a match of anywhere from 3% to 1%. They can change that election each year based on a couple different rules.
Lowell, what about a situation? I know, for example, regular IRAs, I can fund them when I file my tax return next year. Let's talk about some of the other type of plans where you just mentioned the simple IRA where you have to have October 1st was the deadline. What are some of the other deadlines for things like a SEP IRA, a 401k, or whatever other plan? Don't you have to have those documents in place and the plan in place before the year ends, even though you don't have to fund it immediately?
Yeah, for anything that's qualified, like a 401k plan or things you do. For a SEP, you could actually put that in place after the beginning of the year, but have it effective for the previous year, because you're not going to have to make a contribution to that until the tax filing deadline of April 15th or whatever extensions there may be that year based on holidays or weekends or the state you're in. But yes, you could, everyone else has to have something in place before the end of that plan year in order to make that contribution.
And Lowell, what are some of the rules? Aren't there, like, if you're setting up a plan, it's not just having the plan documents, but when it's involving somebody other than yourself, let's say you have another couple of employees, aren't there certain regulations that you have to follow? In other words, you're not just funding the max for yourself, but you also have other employees that you have to think of.
Correct. I mean, obviously, depending on the type of program you're putting into place, if there is any discretion on how much you can contribute. So, for example, if you had a discretionary match or you had a profit-sharing contribution to a 401k plan or anything like that, you're going to basically have to give a similar percentage, in most cases, the same percentage profit-sharing contribution to everybody who's eligible to participate. You can't just give it to yourself if you're a small employer. There are some ways that you can enhance what you can provide to yourself or your what we call more highly compensated employees. One way you can do that is you could integrate the program with Social Security. So people who are of Social Security age and reaching the Social Security limit for making contributions to Social Security, you can sometimes add, depending on your program and your plan document that you would have in place, would have to contribute to anybody who meets that criteria. There's also something they call new comparability, much more complicated. You probably want to get involved with an actuary. You can create employee groups and do some differences. But in most cases, in the more common world, you're going to make a very similar, if not the exact same percentage contribution to any of your employees that you made to yourself.
I want to talk about another particular situation. This goes back to, let's say, a single individual. And let's just say you are Larry Lots of Bucks. You're a high-paid professional. You could be a tech person. You could be a doctor. You could be an attorney, a specialized professional with high income limits, even people in real estate, consistent producers. I know a lot of the athletes that are free agents, and I know a lot of the movie stars that are free agents have something called a defined benefit pension plan. I wonder if you might speak to that, what it is, and what kind of limits that you can put away, which depend on basically interest rates and age limits and funding.
It's a good point. So we've got a lot of folks who are more wealthy individuals who want to shelter some more money can do a defined benefit plan. A defined benefit plan is your typical pension plan. So let's assume going back in time, there were a lot more of these, but you would work for a company for a number of years, and each year they would get a little higher payout when you retire based on usually your last 3-5 years of salary on average. And then they would apply a formula so you could max out at maybe 30% replacement value. And then based on that calculation, when you retire, the company could either pay you a lump sum that would essentially allow you to get the same benefit as you would do if you would take a monthly check from that plan, very similar to a Social Security check. So that's called a defined benefit plan. For big corporations, they're very standard. They're not really a tax-deferred vehicle. But for small folks, maybe self-employed, you can use a defined benefit plan to sock away more money because you got to get that fully funded. So you have to fund it as though you're going to retire at some point. So it allows you in years, especially early on when you create that program, in order to meet those funding goals of throwing significant amounts of money into that program to meet your minimum funding standards. That's right now, I think the DB limit in 2019 is $225,000. So if you're a high net worth person, there might be a ways that you can do as much as that each year. All depends on the plan, your age, a couple of other factors, but you would work directly with mostly an actuarial firm and probably an ERISA attorney of some sort to help you draft that document and that plan that would best meet your individual tax circumstances and financial needs.
And that can really come in handy. I know for individuals in our, let's say maybe are 5-10 years away from retirement, they're at the peak of their earning career. The kids have grown up. They've gone off to college. That's taken care of. The weddings are paid for. Now you're at that stage in your life where you're at maximum earnings where you can really have a chance to salt away a lot of money. Let's talk about, as we conclude here, what are some rules and guidelines our listeners need to be made aware of? You just mentioned a simple IRA. We've already passed the deadline of October 1st, so it's too late for that. What is left between now and, let's say, the end of the year and now between next April 15th?
Yeah, I think for the individual investor, especially if you're making contributions to a plan yourself, you can increase your contributions. So if you're deferring, you started off deferring a lower percent and you now can afford to do your full $19,000 and maybe your catch-up, adjust your contribution rates. And now you also get usually more in match from your employer. So look at what you can do there. If you're also an individual who doesn't make a lot of money, so let's say if you're a joint filer and you're making under $64,000, you can also get, if you make contributions into any retirement plan, it could be an IRA or anything else before the end of the year, you can get up to a $2,000 tax credit for what you put away for retirement savings, whether it be in a 401k plan or an IRA or whatever. So, and tax credit obviously is much more beneficial than tax deduction because it comes right off your tax bill. A couple things you might want to think of before the end of the year. If you're looking at your SEP contributions, again, If you have a SEP IRA and you're thinking of doing that this year, open one up and you've got till April 15th to file it. We usually work with your accountant, see what you can afford. That's something you might want to do between now and the end of the year also. I think those are probably the best tips right now. You know, and from the small employer who doesn't have a program and wants one, it's a good time to start looking at maybe if you were interested in a simple IRA for your employees next year. Because you can open it up, get it ready, because there are some notification requirements and everything that you need to provide ahead of time.
Lowell, a final question for those individuals listening to this program living in California. California passed a law where they are going to require companies, depending on size, and it'll change each year, eventually getting down to only 5 employees. If you don't have a pension plan in place, it'll be mandatory that your employees contribute to a state pension. So can you talk about that as we close?
Yeah, and California is not alone. Oregon has a similar program. There are almost 30 states out there that have proposed rules that would require smaller employees without a pension plan to offer some type of program. It could be an IRA-based program or a payroll deduction program or something that helps individuals save. The federal government even has a proposal into place for an automatic IRA. They've had that proposal out there since the Obama administration, but it's getting a little bit more traction since the states are doing it themselves right now. But that is something that employers need to think about also. If you're a small employer, you're going to probably have to start a retirement plan if you have, like you said, it's 5 employees. Some states, the rule's 10. As long as you have a plan, you may or may not want to use the state program, because the state program has usually limitations in what you can invest in and limit other limits that you may not be all that thrilled with. The state of California is kind of more like a Social Security type program, but some of the other states are more like defined contributions and IRA programs. So I think each employer who's in that situation needs to look and keep track of that. And maybe talk to their financial advisor, or even in some cases, their payroll company, others that can help them kind of navigate what options are available to them if they are mandated to create that type of program for their employees.
All right. Well, listen, Lo, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out, maybe they're interested in setting up a personal plan if they're self-employed or they have employees and want to find out more, how can they do so?
Well, they can contact their investment advisor. Our firm, IRA Logix, provides cloud-based IRA services to other financial institutions. So we don't market our own products. We actually run and manage IRA programs for others. But there's a lot of organizations out there, probably a local advisor, your bank, mutual fund companies. Those are all good sources to kind of look at how can I invest, what would I want to invest in. Make sure you look at the fee expenses on the funds, other things of that nature. But there are a lot of very good individuals out there who specialize in this area.
All right. Well, listen, Lo, as always, thanks for coming on the program. And once again, folks, I know probably taxes is the last thing on your mind, but if you don't have a pension plan or contributing to one, or maybe you don't have one with your employer, contact individuals like ourselves or an advisor so you can get that in place and save taxes for this year. It's still not too late. Lo, thanks so much for joining us on the program. All the best, sir, and come back and talk to us again.
Thanks, Jim. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye. You know, folks, really, if you are in that situation, maybe you, your wife, you're both employees, you have no pension benefits and could use a tax deduction, now's the time to start thinking about this. Or if you are self-employed, whether you're a sole proprietor or maybe you have a few extra employees, but you want to do that now, get together with your advisor or somebody like us and talk about putting a plan in place that can save some taxes. And especially if you live in a high tax state like California, New York, New Jersey, or Illinois, it's not just the federal taxes you save, it's also the state taxes. In many cases, you may find the tax savings pay for half your contributions. In the meantime, until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.